did care for him. But at the very same time, she also told him that she could not stand him. Being a man, he responded in kind, and they, of course, had a bitter quarrel. And after the quarreling was over, and it lasted only a couple days, they began really to love each other, and the kind of love they experienced was as if for the very first time in their 30 years together. And the 1 year that was left to them then turned out to be the happiest year of their lives together, happier than all the other 30 years put together. If only we had known sooner, the husband said to me the day she was buried, if only we had known sooner. The words, little children, love one another, are as unassailable as Mother's Day cards, 4th of July oratory, or Christmas trees. Nobody is going to deny that we should love one another. But when anything becomes so much a part of established truth, it becomes trite and pretty and irrelevant. Nobody listens to what it really means, nor does anyone really reflect upon the challenge of the implication of loving another person. People say or think that love is sweet, love is romance, love is pleasant, love happens in June, which rhymes with moon. And so we think, well, we who are the children of the Lord Jesus are, in other words, supposed to feel sweet and pleasant and kindly toward one another. The fact is, and as I look at you this afternoon, the median age here is about 72. We've all discovered over the years, and I'm 61, that love really is terribly hard work. Love is terribly difficult and is able to be sustained only with a maximum of effort and honesty, candor, courage, and resourcefulness. And even the sexual dimension of love, based as it is on extremely powerful needs and rewarded with enormous physical pleasure, according to current data, even that can be sustained only with difficulty. Remember, I'm competing with a thunderstorm. The two partners in marriage must work hard all during their married lives, trying to understand each other's needs and moods and vulnerabilities and self-defenses, each other's fears and hopes. Even in the sexual-physical relationship, and because of the self-discipline that is needed to exercise this kind of sensitivity is simply too much for many, many people. The physical aspects of love normally deteriorate very quickly. And literally, according to data and statistics, particularly after the first 2 years of marriage, that's normal. Now, in many, if not most, relationships, once the beautiful physical passions and pleasures have been permitted to deteriorate, then the other components of the relationship begin to decline rapidly, simply because the motivation for their sustenance is now much less powerful than it had been when they were younger. The fully and completely human dimensions of a love relationship normally require the fuel of passion to keep the engine running. And if the two partners are not really working at the discipline, the self-restraint, the sensitivity, the capacity they should have to try and comfort and challenge each other in all the dimensions of their common life together, then the fuel tanks of passion will dry up very quickly. And that's true because intimacy with another person, even when that intimacy is reinforced in married life by sexual passion, intimacy is always the most difficult challenge in life. A challenge, unfortunately, that many, many people do not understand. Other people married pretend that it does not exist, and still others ignore it, because the openness and the vulnerability and the love involved are too terrifying. And for 34 years, I have heard stories and thousands of stories that indicate that this is so true. And that's why when Jesus told us to love one another as he has loved us, he has presented us with an extraordinarily difficult, almost impossible task or challenge. Love is not pretty. Love is not sentimental. Love is not saccharine sweet. Love is terrifying. Love is awesome. Almost impossible. That's how difficult it is to love people. And perhaps the most difficult part of intimacy is that we must learn how to take risks. As people live together, they must learn how to expose themselves as they really are. And that means sometimes putting the relationship in jeopardy. And while we can be moderately confident that a new exposure of oneself to the other is going to help that relationship grow between the two people, we can never be absolutely certain that it's going to work. There can be tough and honest talk between the two. There can be painful self-revelation. But not the kind of exploiting each other. But that kind of thing can be a frightening exercise. And if they are successful, the rewards are great. If they fail, the pain is simply horrible. And some of the time, of course, the experiments fail. And the ultimate risk of intimacy comes when there's a balance that must be decided upon whether or not there have been enough successes or failures to resolve that once more we should take the opportunity of trying again. Always a little bit hope, a little bit optimism. What it comes down to is that Jesus presents us with a model. As he took risk of exposing and revealing his real self to us, he also put himself in jeopardy. And that's what we are to do. He does not promise to continue to love us no matter what happens. Rather, he does promise that he will love us no matter what happens, thunder or lightning notwithstanding, even when other people break our hearts. And so no one would disagree with today's gospel, that we should love each other, but we ask how many people are willing to work at and to practice that difficult task, despite the jeopardy, despite the sustained vulnerability. The way to love anything is to realize that it might be lost. It might be lost. As the man said in Coos Bay, where it rains a great deal, if only we had known sooner. If only we had known sooner.